me now, my brother in Christ, Gary Bykirk. Gary, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Thank you. It's an honor to be able to be here with you.
So that is not a word that I suspect you use lightly. Let's talk about honor, and let's talk about what that word means to you and maybe how your understanding of it has changed through your life experience.
Yeah, that actually every time I do use it, I go back to some time that I spent in the cave in New Hampshire when I found out I was being awarded the Medal of Honor. And I took a Bible in that cave, into the cave with me, and one of the verses that I found when I was a verse in Psalm 49, verse 20, it says, "Man that is in honor and understands not is like a beast that perishes." And I began to say, okay, God, I guess you're going to be teaching me about what honor, about what this Medal of Honor means, about what life means, about what all I went through in Vietnam, what does that mean? And God did teach me, as you said in the introduction, that I've come to understand that Jeremiah says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the mighty man in his might, or the rich man in his riches. But if you're going to glory, glory in this, that you know me, the Lord." And God taught me while I was in that cave for 18 months, and he's been teaching me every day, that honor is all his. Honor is about him. Honor is about walking with him, glorifying him as we continue to spend our time on our knees, looking to serve and love him and love others. To me, that's what honor is, loving others for his glory.
We're talking with Gary Bykirk this morning. The book is Blaze of Light, the inspiring true story of Green Beret medic Gary Bykirk, Medal of Honor recipient. The author is Marcus Brotherton. The book is excellent. The story is very well told. Take us back, if you will, to, I don't know if you want to go back to the dawn of April 1st, 1970, or if you want to take us back a little bit further than that so that we can understand where you were on the dawn of April 1st, 1970.
Yeah, I was a member of a 12-person team, member of the Green Beret team, and we lived in the jungles of Vietnam. I lived with a group of mountaineers, which was a tribal group in Vietnam. There's about 2,300 mountain yards and 12 Americans, and we were in the jungles in the highlands. And for me, that experience was life-changing because when I first arrived in the jungle, I befriended a 15-year-old mountain yard boy. And in the mountain yard culture, anybody that was 12 years old or older was an adult. They were warriors. We had a 12-year-old that was an M60 machine gunner. And I befriended this 15-year-old because I told him that his name was Dale. I said, "I want you to teach me how to survive in the jungle, Dale, because I hate snakes and I'm afraid of tigers." And he laughed at me and he said, "I don't want to teach you how to survive." He said, "I'm going to teach you how to live in the jungle." He said, "Because we get our life from the jungle." He said, "I want you to be able to live." He said, "Because fear narrows your focus. I want you to be able to see things out there that can provide you life." And for the time that I was with Dale in those mountain yards, Dale taught me about what it really means to live. On April 1st, our camp came under siege, and we were surrounded for over 30 days by 10,000 of the enemy. I was shot numerous times. But because of the love that Dale and I had for each other and the bond that we committed to one another, Dale immediately found me when I was shot and carried me throughout the battle. Everything that I did, helping people, continuing the fight, I did because Dale carried me, because of the love that we had for one another. It was his strength and his love that helped me overcome the fear and my weakness. And we heard a rocket coming in, and Dale threw me on the ground, laid on top of me, and was killed by that rocket explosion. So my time with the mountain yards was a time where I really found a home. That in the midst of this primitive jungle tribe, I found a home because I found what it meant to really love one another. And it was a very life-changing experience. My time with the mountain yards taught me so much. We had a saying in Vietnam that to really live, you must almost die. To those that fight for it, life has a meaning the protected will never know. Deo taught me what it really meant to live. And I used to teach these life lessons to my students because I worked as a middle school counselor for 33 years. And one of the first life lessons that I taught them was this: to really live, you must almost die. And I said, I'm not talking about dying physically, but I'm talking about if you want to really live, you have to learn to die to yourself, because life is more than just surviving. Life is living. And as Jesus said, if you want to really live, lose your life for his sake, serve others, love others. I began to learn that lesson in that mountain yard village in Vietnam.
I think it's fair to say, Gary, that the United States of America was not an easy nor hospitable place to which to return from your experience in Vietnam. You were physically broken. The book describes, you know, your experience at that point as confused. You returned to a United States that was certainly embittered toward soldiers like yourself. And you didn't just return with a wounded body. You returned, you know, with a soul wound, with a wounded heart. When we come back from the break, I'd love for you to share with our audience about, you know, about the time in the cave. I know that we started our conversation there, but it feels like that is really significant. And it's from the cave that you emerged to go meet the president of the United States in Washington, D.C. to receive the nation's highest honor. It's quite a story. I am talking with Gary Bykirk. We are talking about his life, his testimony, chronicled in a book, Blaze of Light, the inspiring true story of Green Beret medic Gary Bykirk, Medal of Honor recipient. The book is by Marcus Brotherton, and Gary and I will be right back. Continuing my conversation now with Gary Bykirk. I think I'll just start by saying that, you know, Gary and I, because we're both believers in Jesus and have received the grace of God in Jesus Christ, are going to spend eternity together. And so we're going to have extended opportunities to celebrate the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his redemptive power. And we want to share that with you today. And so, Gary, it is my honor. I'm now using that word very intentionally with you. It's my honor to have you share your story and your life experience with our audience today. We like to call Wednesday Witness Wednesday, and you're bearing witness through your testimony to the world. The ways in which you have borne witness now for more than 30 years to junior high school students, you know, seeking to invest in them, the wisdom of your own life's experience is such a great gift to the next generation of Americans. Let's pick up with the day maybe that you decided. I don't know. Did you decide to go to walk to a cave? Was it a decision? Talk about that. Talk about seeking to forget and instead finding something else.
Well, I had gone in up into northern New Hampshire because I had I came home hoping to find some peace and some healing and some love. But as you mentioned, and as many people might be familiar with, when I came home, all I found was anger. I found hate. I found guilt. All the things that happened to me in Vietnam bothered me. But this added hate and guilt that I received from my own country just made everything that I was feeling worse. And so I left college, and I wanted to go somewhere that I thought that I could find some peace, some solace. And I chose to go up into northern New England, the White Mountains. I was riding one day, and I found this parking lot that's an Appalachian Mountain Trail. I pulled over, and I started walking. And I heard this rushing sound like a waterfall. And I went over to it, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful waterfall coming down from the White Mountains in New Hampshire. And I said, wow, this is beautiful. And it was in that place that I eventually found a place that became home to me again, much like the village in Daxing in Vietnam, but it was a place where I could find solitude. One of my life lessons was that there's a difference between loneliness and solitude. I was alone in the States. I was lonely because I had walls around me, because I was afraid of people. I was afraid of letting people get to know me, people getting to see what I saw myself. And when I went into the woods and into the cave, I found solitude. And solitude is a place that I found where I could be open. I took my Bible with me and I said, God, let me get to know you more here in this cave, in these woods. I remember making a prayer in September of 73. I said, God, I'm giving you my life back. Everything that I am, I want to put in your hands because you gave me my life in Vietnam. I'm giving my life back to you. 2 weeks after I made that prayer in September of 73, I was told I was being awarded the Medal of Honor. So in this place of solace and quietness where I could reflect and try to heal, I said, God, I'm yours. And God gave me the Medal of Honor. It was a beautiful experience to be able to find that solace, because so many of us seek a solace. You know, when we hurt, we look for a place to go where we can just feel different. And many of us find caves to go into where we can try to feel safe. And when I went into my cave there, I shut down believing that if I could just forget, I'd get better. But when I was in the woods there and in the cave with God, I learned that forgetting is not getting better. Getting better is finding someone to come into that cave with you, finding someone who can love you, who can give you a reason to hope, and give you a purpose for life. I found out when I was in that cave for 18 months that forgetting is not getting better. Getting better is having someone come into your life. And it was God that came into my life at that time, along with a beautiful young lady that I met in the nearest town, Lancaster. She came into my life, wanted to marry her, but she said, you got to come out of the cave. And so I came out of the cave, and she's been the heart, the hands, the soul of God in my life for 45 years. She's been a wonderful, wonderful partner. But that's a little bit of my cave story. Forgetting is not getting better. Getting better is finding someone to come into that cave with you, to love you, to give you a reason to hope, and to give you a purpose for life. And that's what God wants to do with all of us. He wants to come into our caves that we've built for ourselves, built with walls of hurt and anger. And he wants to change all that. He wants us to come out of our cave and walk with him.
I love that you, make reference to your wife, Lolly. We certainly want to have a little shout out to Lolly today. This is not a journey that we walk alone. It's a journey that we walk in fellowship with the Lord, absolutely. But it's also a journey that we walk from brokenness to wholeness, and from fear to life, from just surviving to really living. Yes. There are companions on this journey. I'm wondering if you can share with us a little bit about your service as the chaplain to the Medal of Honor Society. There's such a small group of people who have been valorized in this way. And so can you just share a little bit of that with us as well?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been many times that I've been humbled on my knees, serving as a chaplain among such a group of men as the Medal of Honor recipients is a place that I have to definitely remain humble. But it's not that difficult if I just remember that when I put my medal around my neck, that there's no room for self, that this medal is not about me. It's about everyone who's served, everyone who's put on a uniform. It's not about one person who did one thing on one day. It's about millions of men and women who do acts of service and sacrifice every day. And we as a group of 69 men who are still alive, all of us realize that it's not about us. There's a certain humility that comes to a person when they put that medal around their neck. And it's very ironic because all of us did the things that we did, not because we were seeking glory for ourselves. We did it because we're seeking someone else's benefit. We're seeking the welfare of someone else. We care for someone else more than ourselves. But then in doing so, all of a sudden we have this honor placed on us. And that's a difficult burden to care. How am I going to make this a part of my life? What do I do now with this honor? And there's a certain humility that exists among the men that wear the Medal of Honor. And there's also a certain amount of faith that's there. Not all of them are Christians, but all of them would be sure to say, I believe there's something greater than me. I believe there's something greater in this life than myself, because I was willing to die for it. And my ministry has been to try to help each of those men see that what they value, what they believe in, is something that's been placed in them by a God who loves them. And I try by my life and by my words and by my actions towards them to let them know and to see that it's Jesus that has placed that service, that value of caring for something more than yourself. It's Jesus that has placed that in their hearts. And that's what motivated them. It's the love of Christ.
My conversation partner is Gary Bykirk. The book is Blaze of Light, the inspiring true story of Green Beret medic Gary Bykirk, Medal of Honor recipient. The author is Marcus Brotherton. It is a testimony to Christ, and it is beautifully written, beautifully retold by Marcus Brotherton. Gary, thank you so much, not only for sharing with us today, but for carrying the burden of the Medal of Honor, and carrying it in a way that helps others to understand what honor is and what it means to honor God above all. You are a delightful inspiration on this Witness Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. God bless you. Thank you for all that you do for our Lord.
I received that. Thank you so much, my brother. We'll be right back.